Together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Stephen on Thursday to just go in after the presence of God and try to pen lyric and melody. And after a couple of hours, it just felt like the presence of God just stopped everything. And we wrote a song called The Blessing. And it's straight from Scripture. And it's the heart of the Father over us as His kids. And we're going to sing it this morning, if that's okay. And this is a blessing over you and your family and your children. So just receive this morning. Just put your hands out in front of you. Turn your heart to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God Himself over you this morning.
Lord bless you and keep you. face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Everyone stand, please. Stand up. And welcome to Sunday Morning Edison Church.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those folks who are joining us online today. I just want to encourage you here as we start out. Psalm 100, verse number 1, it says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Has anyone here got anything to be thankful to the Lord? "And into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever." Come on, put your hands together. Sing with us today. We're going to give God praise today. We're going to sing with all we got. Amen.
Here in your light we find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy to be praised. You will be of grace, consuming every space, it's uncontainable. You're coming like a flood, our hearts are filling up, All things are possible. Do you believe it? All things are possible. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, you are worthy.
Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe if I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe if I'm not dead, then you're not done.
Goodness is
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Anyone seen the goodness of God in their life? And I love that the Bible says that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Amen. Now's the time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to pray, and you can see your prayers answered for those who need healing in their bodies, whatever it is. Welcome to those that are watching online by the internet. We are glad you're joining in our service, and I've asked the great evangelist, Mike Francine. Come stand by me, brother. Pastor Steve and I love Mike so dearly. And we were just talking in the car this morning on the way here. We're talking about timekeeping. But he just casually dropped the fact that one time in one of the African countries, when the president asked to meet with him, and he went to see him, and the president was late, and he left after 30 minutes because, so he cared, you know, he's done such incredible things. God has used him in such a mighty way. You know, you've ministered healing to so many people, haven't you? I mean, miracles, just like, just miracle after miracle. We'd be here all day if we talked about it. But this morning, when we were in our prayer meeting before service, Mike shared a scripture that I really felt like as a word from the Lord for people that are watching today and people that are here. And so I just want to ask you, Mike, if you would just speak that word over people and just pray right now, because I think things are going to change in people's lives. There are people that are watching, people that are here that need to hear that. And if you just minister healing to people right where they are, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, Proverbs tells us that when hope is deferred, when hope is taken away, the heart becomes sick. And there's many here today that you're facing hopelessness, and your hearts become sick. See, hope is the very foundation of faith. And many that are watching right now, your hope has been taken. The doctors have given you a report that there's no hope. I'm praying today that hope comes and is restored, because that's the foundation of faith. And faith is the key that's going to launch you into the manifestation of your miracle.
Right.
So, Father, I thank you today for everybody that's here in this building, for everybody that's watching via the internet. I thank you that we can bring our hopelessness to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And you've said in Romans 15 and verse 13 that you are the source of our hope.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, beyond anything that is sung here today, beyond anything that is prayed here today, beyond anything that Pastor C will speak today, I ask that people here today would have an encounter with you, an experience with you that no man can replace. So, Father, today, when their bodies are saying there is no hope, when doctors have said there is no hope, when they look at the ledger of their bank account and they check their coffers, they see hopelessness in those situations, when families and marriages are distraught, I'm thanking you right now that you are the source of hope. Bring hope to their hearts today. Heal sick hearts today and restore that hope in the name of Jesus Christ. A hope that lies in you, not in the doctor's report, not in the words of politicians, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in your resurrection power, in your resurrection life. Let hope come to their hearts today, because you are the source of that hope. I speak that hope. I decree that hope in the name of Jesus Christ. To everybody that's watching right now, I decree hope into your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And that hope is the foundation of faith that's going to bring you into the manifested miracle that you seek and you desire and you long for. When hope has been taken away, Father, let your life come, your healing come, your peace come in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak and I decree healing. According to Job 22:28, if we decree something, it will be done. It will be established. Right now, I decree hope and healing to people's sick bodies. I decree hope and healing to sick bank accounts. I decree when there seems like there's no hope in their marriage, no hope in their family, I speak and decree hope right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hope come, miracles manifest in the name of Jesus Christ into sick bodies, into sick bank accounts, into families that are torn apart, into addictions that rule and reign over people's lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, let hope rule and reign today. Because, Father, you are the source of that hope. Let us have that experience, that encounter with you this morning. Through everything Pastor Steve is going to share, let hope come. And let them have an experience and an encounter with you and with your word. Let it live and grow and reside and manifest a miracle on the inside of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we decree hope today. And manifested miracles in bodies, in finances, in families, in lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, hope come, miracles manifest in Jesus Christ's holy name. Father, you are the source of hope, according to Romans 15 and verse 13. You are the source. Father, we look to you as our source today. For everything hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. So come on, if you're agreeing with that, let's agree with that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And right as Brother Mike was speaking, I sense there's somebody with, you've come in, you've had a problem under the ball of your foot. There's been pain, there's been some damage, and your foot has been in pain, and God's healing that right now. Is it? Yes. Who is that here? Somebody here with that's had an issue under one of their feet. I think it's your right foot. That's you, Chris. Come right up here, brother. Come right up here. Because when the anointing is flowing and the Spirit of God is moving, you got to just step right in and take what it is He has. Right. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. I just release the healing power of God to flow into Chris's foot right now. Every nerve, every bit of damage, Father God, right now, every tendon, total healing, flow, flow through his body in Jesus' name. Somebody else here that's had some kind of lump on the side of their body that was concerning to them. Someone's had, there's a bump on the side of your body. Maybe feels like a swollen gland, but it's been bothering you. People sometimes come afterwards telling you there's somebody. If it's you that's watching, I just speak to that right now. I speak healing to flow into that just as God has decreed. There's somebody that has had palpitations, a shortness of breath, and the concern that has come to their mind is that your heart. It's your heart. And I want you to just lift your hand if that's you right now in this place. If that's you in this place. Father, I just speak healing into that heart. I speak healing. I speak peace. I take authority over you, Satan, where you would bring thoughts of fear and of doubt. In the name of Jesus, we command that heart to beat normally. Total healing in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive that. It is you. Hallelujah. I hear your voice, my dear pastor, husband.
Go ahead.
See you behind me. Praise God. Well, right now we're going to sing our final song. But, the Bible says that when Jesus walked the earth, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal people. Let me tell you that the power of the Lord is present to heal people right here. There's no difference.
That's right.
There's no difference. He's right here with us, and his power is present. But just like that woman with the issue of blood, she had to actually step forward and switch a switch of faith. Yes. And so today, if you need something from the Lord, if you're in this building and you need something from the Lord in any area of your life, We want to pray with you. We want to join our faith together with you. Yes. Our prayer team are going to be up here in the front, and we're going to pray, but we're going to worship one more song.
Absolutely. As you know, the healing power of God is here. If you don't know what was happening, what is happening is the Holy Spirit is moving in our midst here, and He's showing Pastor Jill, He's healing people. Someone, Chris, had something wrong with the ball of his foot, and someone else had a lump on their side, and there was something else you called out. I just want you to know the healing power of God is here, and all you've got to do is release your faith and say, Lord, I receive your healing power to flow into my body. I receive healing from this. You've got to receive it by faith, the Bible says. It goes, Lord, I thank you that you are my healer. I thank you that your healing power is working in my body. I receive my healing in the name of Jesus. If you're watching this right now, wherever you're watching from, if you need healing in your body, just say, thank you, Lord. I receive that healing. I thank you for healing me from this. And just begin to thank him and praise him. And you know what? You'll see the victory. You'll see the miracle take place, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's still the miracle worker. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. Can you say amen, church? So I want to encourage you, if you want prayer this morning, don't be shy. Come on forward. I'm going to ask our prayer partners, come help me. If you need prayer, come right now. We love you. God loves you. And let me tell you right now, when you pray, God hears and he answers. We're going to sing this final song. It's called Sea of Victory. And I believe you're going to see victories in your life. How many of you are trusting God to see victories in your life? Is anyone here believing for a victory in your life? Well, then listen, sing it with us. I know it's a new song, but sing it out with us today. Declare it in faith. I'm going to see a victory in Jesus' name.
Weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve only knows how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Belongs what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Come on and sing it. Here we go.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
For the
what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
We don't fight these battles on our own, family. God's on our side. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Welcome to those watching via the internet. We're so glad you're participating in church today. Why don't you just turn and greet someone, and then you may be seated. Thank you. Ascend Church this morning. It's just a joy just rising in my heart today. I love to be in the house of God. I love to be in the presence of God. How about you? Amen. Amen. Worship team did an awesome job this morning. Look at them. Muff, look at Muff, our drummer. Look how cool is he with his sunglasses. They just flew. They came back at midnight last night, flew and took two of the boys to college this week. So good job, parents. Amen. And I just wanted to say, Job, who is filling in for us today, he often fills in for us. And Job had a new baby boy yesterday morning. Look at that. Got to see some pictures, brother. going to see some pictures. What a blessing. Praise God. Well, welcome to church. I want to just welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We always have new visitors. We're always very happy to see people come and visit our church because this isn't a little bless me club, right? These doors are open. There's many people that need to be filled with hope and to meet with the Lord. So if you've come today, I don't know if you came by an invite of a friend or if you just happened to see us online or however it worked, we're glad you're here. I always say it because I believe it. I don't believe it's by accident. You know, the Bible says that the Lord directs our footsteps. And so I believe you're here to receive something from the Lord. And if you are here for the first time today, we just want to welcome you. Our ushers would like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. If you wouldn't mind, if you're here for the first time, just wave your hand that we can welcome you. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. Just keep it waved until an usher sees you. Thank you. In that visitor packs, a couple of things, and one of them being a guest card. We ask you just take a moment and fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. If you would drop that visitor card in, it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you, just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. And as we get ready to go into the Word, I just want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church. The first one is we want you to know God. It's all about a relationship with Him, isn't it? It's all about growing in our knowledge of Him and knowing who He is and how He thinks and His motives and His intents, to know His voice, right? Second of all, for us to find freedom in every area of our life. Third, to discover your purpose. And fourth, to make a difference with your life. Amen. And we got a good word coming up. Were you going to do something other than that right now?
No, why?
Oh, you were going that way instead of this way.
Just waiting on you.
Just waiting on me.
We want to congratulate Job. He and his wife had a little baby boy, right, yesterday. And he came and filled in for Abel today, even though his wife just had a little baby. Thank you. Won't you just congratulate Job? Give him a big round of applause. Oh, you did? What's your baby's name? Tell me again. Cordelian. Cordelian. Cornelian. Cornelian. And he's doing good. Praise God. That's wonderful. You know, this morning we had some real technical issues going on here. At 8 a.m., or before 8 a.m., Daniel texted me, and he said the screen was not working. Only half of the screen was working. And what had happened is there were three things going on. The screen wasn't working, the Wi-Fi wasn't working, and our Spanish translation system wasn't working. All those three things. This is what church is like. Thank God, not every week. But I just got to congratulate and give honor to our team because Dan and Todd came down from Port St. Lucie and Chester and they got, thank God, they got all the problems fixed up. You can't believe they actually, we had some spare panels to the screen and they went and took the power supplies out and changed one of them and like at 10 to 10 or what was it? 9:45. Dan ran up to me, praise God, the screen's working. So the Lord is good. Amen. And I just want to say, well done. Everybody just stayed calm. And we got everything, the Wi-Fi working, the Spanish translation working, and the screen working, all before the service. Give them another big round of applause. Won't you do that? They sure do deserve that. And so praise God. Thank you, Dan, the man. And I want to welcome all of you here today. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for, I know, for those of you who've been every week. We haven't missed a Sunday. We haven't closed a Sunday. And thank you for all you have been faithful. And I want to welcome all who are watching online today. We have people watching from all over the world. So glad that you're watching. And I especially want to give a shout out to our members who are watching online. I want to remind you that we miss you. We love you. We're praying for you. We're so glad you're watching online. Remember, whether you're at home or whether you're right here live, We are in God's presence. This is Sunday morning. This is the day that we give thanks and praise to the Lord. And so we together. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if you are watching this online, you know, there's four different ways you can watch the service. You can watch it on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, please put a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. Say hi to us. Share this. You can share this on your live feed so your friends can see it. That's one way of reaching people. You can also watch the service live on our website, which is ascendchurch.us. And you can watch it on our mobile app. And you can watch it on our YouTube channel. So there's four places. I like the YouTube channel. Not that I ever sit home on Sunday morning, but you can, because you can watch it on your TV, on YouTube, the live stream. Now, if you watch it on our website or on our mobile app, you have the option of listening to the Spanish translation. So if you're sitting here today and you'd like the Spanish translation, if you just raise your hand, one of the ushers will give you one of our little cards, show you how to access the Spanish translation. It's real easy to do that. All you need is a smartphone and a set of headphones, and you can listen to the service in Spanish. That's good, isn't it? I'm very thankful about that. Praise the Lord, and make sure that you have the sermon outline. If you didn't receive it when you came in today, just raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. It's an outline. You can follow with me today through the sermon. So are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. Man, oh man, I tell you right now, it's just so amazing. Because at 9:30, we thought, oh man, what are we going to do? It's kind of difficult to have service without the screen. It's become, you know, such a help to us. But thank God everything worked out. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are so good and so faithful. And we thank you, Lord, that you take what the enemy meant for our evil and you turn it for our good. We thank you, Lord, for leading us in triumphant victory. We thank you, Lord, that you are fighting our battles, Lord. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours. We look to you just like King Jehoshaphat when they were surrounded by those armies and they looked like no way out. They said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And you said to them, the battle is the Lord's. And you gave them the victory. And Lord, in the same way, we are looking to you with everything that's going on in the world right now. We're looking to you. We thank you for bringing healing and restoration across around this world and in this nation. We thank you for revival across this nation. We thank you. You take what the enemy meant for evil. You turn it for our good. Thank you that churches will grow and be packed out like never before. Thank you for restoring businesses. Thank you, Lord, for just moving across this nation. We are looking to you, Father. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. You're our provider. We give you all the praise for everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen, somebody. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you are here. And this morning, I want to speak to you about show honor. That's what I want to speak about. I always pray and I ask the Lord to guide me what he would have me to speak about on Sunday. I never just pick it out of a hat. I always pray and wait on the Lord, and he always guides me, and I really felt like the Lord wanted me to speak to you about showing honor, because this is one of the seven values of Ascend Church. You can read more about our seven values on our website, but the seven values of Ascend Church is, number one, Jesus is our message. Number two, people are our heart. Number three, generosity is our privilege. Number four, excellence is our spirit. Number five, servant leadership is our identity. And number six, honor is our calling. And seven, passion is our pursuit. Those are the values of our church. And you know, everywhere we go as believers, we should be looking for opportunities to bring honor. This is very important to the Lord. It's amazing to me how much God speaks about this in the Bible. There's a lot in the Bible about this. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 17, the Bible says, honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. And the Message Bible says it like this. It says, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Now, the word honor means to regard and treat someone with great respect. It also means to give special recognition to somebody. And the Bible says we should give honor to everybody. Some synonyms for the word honor, in other words, these are words that are similar to honor, is the word esteem, to obey, to defer to applaud, to value, to appreciate, to cherish, to reverence, to revere, to acclaim, to praise, to salute, to recognize, to celebrate, to commend, to pay tribute to. All of those things are part of honor. Some antonyms for honor, in other words, this is the opposite of honor, is disrespect, disgrace, disobey, or to criticize. Now, we live in a very dishonoring society today. Anyone notice that? Is it just me? In America today, many people are divided by politics, and there's a lot of disrespect and dishonor that is shown toward other people because of politics. Thank God that we live in a country that has freedom of speech. Thank God for that. But listen, that doesn't give us the right to disobey what God says in His Word. And God wants us to show honor to everybody. He wants us to show honor to people that are in positions of authority. Notice that the Apostle Peter particularly mentions to respect the government, to honor the king. And I found this very interesting. If you read it from the New International Version, it says honor the emperor. Now, at the time that Peter wrote this, the emperor was a man named Nero. And he was the Roman emperor at the time, and he was an evil leader. In fact, Nero was the first emperor that started persecuting and executing Christians. He would have Christians torn apart by dogs or burnt alive. This man would persecute, I'm not saying persecute Christians like, you know, how can you be a Christian? You're a bad boy. I'm talking about setting you on fire. And yet God said to honor him. Have you thought about that? In 1 Peter 2, verse 13, let me read it from the Contemporary English Version. It says, the Lord wants you to obey all human authorities, especially the emperor. Especially the emperor who rules over everyone. You must obey governors because they are sent by the emperor to punish criminals and to praise good citizens. God wants you to silence stupid and ignorant people by doing right. You are free, but still you are God's servants, and you must not use your freedom as an excuse for doing wrong. Respect everyone and show special love for God's people. Honor God and respect the emperor. The Passion Bible says, in order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution. So when I honor you, I'm actually honoring God. Are you with me? And the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. In Romans 13, verse 1, he said, every person must submit to and support the authorities over him, for there can be no authority in the universe except by God's appointment, which means that every authority that exists has been instituted by God. So to resist authority is to resist the divine order of God, which results in severe consequences. For civil authorities don't intimidate those who are doing good, but those who are doing evil. So do what is right, and you'll never need to fear those in authority. They will commend you for your good citizenship. Those in authority are God's servants for the good of society, but if you break the law, you have reason to be alarmed, for they are God's agents of punishment to bring criminals to justice. Why do you think they carry weapons? You are compelled to obey them, not just to avoid punishment, but because you want to live with a clean conscience. This also is the reason that you pay your taxes. For governmental authorities are God's officials who oversee these things. So it is your duty to pay all the taxes and fees that they require and to respect those who are worthy of respect, honoring them accordingly. Now, the only exception to this is if a human authority tells you to do something that is disobedient to the Lord or to the word of God, God's word is a higher authority than any human authority. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were performing many miracles, and many new believers were being added to the church daily, and people were bringing sick people out onto the street and laying them on beds and laying them on mats so that Peter's shadow could fall on them as he passed by, and the Bible says they were all healed. As Peter walked by, his shadow would fall on them and they would be healed. When the high priest and his officials heard about what was happening, they were jealous. And they arrested the apostles and they had them thrown in jail. But that night, God sent an angel who opened the prison door and brought them out of the prison. And the angel told Peter to keep on preaching the gospel. And when the high priest sent for them the next day, the prison cell was empty. Someone told him that Peter was out preaching in the temple court again. He was out preaching. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 27, then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. He said, "We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Now, I find it very interesting that the same Peter who wrote 1 Peter 2:17 and said, "Honor all people and honor the king and honor the emperor," the same man is the same guy in Acts 5 who said we must obey God and more than any human authority. Same person. Why? Because I honor the government and I honor human authority and I obey the law of the land unless it violates the word of God. Then I honor God and his word first. Are you with me so far? So if you say to me, "Listen, you can only do 65 mile an hour on the 95. I obey that. I obey that. In Jesus' name, I obey that. But if you tell me you can't have church, I ain't going to obey that. Because the word of God says differently. In Proverbs 13, verse 13, Did I miss anything there, Natalie? Did I miss anything? Did I miss a scripture? No? Proverbs 13, verse 13 says, "Despise the word, will you? Then you'll pay the price and it won't be pretty. But the one who honors the Father's holy instructions will be rewarded." I honor God's word above all else. Are you with me? Proverbs 19, verse 16 says, "Honor God's holy instructions and life will go well for you." Honor God's holy instructions and life will go well for you. But if you despise these ways and you choose your own plans, you'll die. Proverbs 50, verse 15 says, "Honor me by trusting in me in your day of trouble. Cry aloud to me and I will be there to rescue me." The Bible says when we trust God in the day of trouble, we're honoring him. When we believe and follow and obey God's word, we're honoring him. The more that you obey the word of God and honor the word of God, the more that you honor God. That's why we never shut our church down during this pandemic, even though most churches did. And they would quote Romans 13. It says you must submit to those in authority. But God told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And no pandemic changes that. God's word tells us in Hebrews 10, 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves. It didn't say unless there's a pandemic, then you should forsake the assembling of yourselves. It says do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that talking about? It's talking about the day of Jesus' return. Do you know Jesus is coming back? I said, do you know Jesus coming back? A lot of people think he's not. He's coming back because he said he is, and so he's coming back. And the Bible says the closer we get to his return, we should be gathering more often, not less often. Amen. The Passion Bible says it like this. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. We need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. The Bible says that we should gather more often. I think during a pandemic, we should be gathering more often, not less often. Thank you for your great amens. Anytime a human authority tells me to do something that violates the word of God, I'm going to obey God's word every time, no matter what the cost. I haven't pressured anybody to attend church. That is your choice. And if you have a health condition and you're at risk, then you listen to God and you follow your heart and you watch online. But don't condemn me for doing what God said in his word. I'm not condemning anybody, but don't condemn me. I'm just doing this because the word of God says it. If I was here by myself, it'd be me, it'd be Dan, it'd be Miguel, it'd be my wife, it'd be Natalie. I know that for sure. It'd be Mike, Tom and Anna. Listen, God wants us to show honor and respect for everybody. We don't get to pick and choose who we honor. God wants us to show honor for everyone. Does everybody deserve to be honored? No. But Christians are supposed to be known as people who treat others with respect because we're doing it unto the Lord, because of our obedience to God. In our conversations, in the way we treat people at home, at work, at the grocery store. As believers, we are carriers of honor. Everywhere we go, we bring honor. We have something to give. If you see someone doing a good job, honor them by telling them. Recognize their accomplishment. Give them credit in front of their colleagues. That's showing honor. And you're not just doing them a favor by doing that. You're doing yourself a favor. Because when you show honor, there is a commanded blessing that is released in your own life. Did you know that? If someone comes to the grocery store line at the same time that you do, and you honor them by letting them go first, preferring others is a way to show honor. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, give precedence and show honor to one another. Honor those in authority by doing what they ask. Honor the police officer by taking that detour without complaint. Show honor by respecting his position. You may not agree with the policy, but because you're a person of honor, you respect the authority and you do it anyway. Are you with me this morning? I found that the amount of honor you show is directly related to the amount of favor you see. If you're stingy with your honor and you think, I tell you what, I can't give them credit, they're going to look better than me, then you won't see favor like you should. But when you're generous with your honor and you're always giving people credit and you're always treating people with respect, you're always encouraging people, then God will be generous with his favor to you. If you want to see more of God's favor and more of God's goodness, show honor in a greater way. Amen. Amen. One time Jesus was having dinner at Lazarus's home with Lazarus's sisters, Mary and Martha. And Mary took a liter. Do you know what a liter is? A liter is about 2 pints. And they took a liter, and it was very rare and very, very expensive perfume. 2 pints of it. And she anointed Jesus' feet. She poured it on Jesus' feet. And then she wiped him dry, his feet dry with her hair. And the fragrance filled the house. And the Bible says in John chapter 12, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, he spoke up and he said, why wasn't this oil, this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily bought 300 silver pieces. Now, the Bible says that this perfume was worth 1 year's salary. A year's salary. I don't know how you get a perfume that's worth a year's salary, but this was that rare and that expensive. And it says that Judas said, we could have sold this and we could have given it to the poor. Verse 6 says he said it not because he cared about the poor. In fact, I like this. It says he said it not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds. He was in charge of the treasury, and he was embezzling. He was stealing from the treasury, and nobody knew except Jesus. And so Jesus said, let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. Can I tell you something right now? I'm a preacher of good news. You will never eradicate poverty. There will always be poor people. I don't care what you do. There will. If Jesus said there'll always be poor people, then take it to the bank. There will always be poor people. But if you hook up with Jesus and you start believing him, he'll bless you and prosper you no matter what country you live in. In the scriptures, oil represents honor. You could say that Mary poured her honor on Jesus. She gave honor and she received favor. In Matthew 26, 13, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. We're still talking about her today. That's honoring her. What she gave was equal to a year's salary. It's amazing how people get upset when you honor God by giving. You know, some people get upset when they found out that you give to the Lord. What? You give 10% to that church? What? Are you crazy? Listen, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 tells us, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your vats with the finest of wines. You see, when you give and tithe, you're honoring God. That's the number one reason that I give and tithe, to honor the Lord. Tithing honors God. You know why? Because it shows that God is first place in your life. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. You see, the tithe is demonstrating God is first in my life. The Good News Translation says, do this so that you may learn to honor the Lord, your God, always. Tithing, say, when I tithe, I'm honoring the Lord. See, when you honor God, God will honor you. When you pour out the oil of honor, it becomes the blessing that is returned back to you. With no honor, no blessing. You will never receive what you're not willing to give. If you don't honor, if you don't give honor, you won't have honor. And some of us, we could go to a new level in our life. You could see that breakthrough you've been praying about. If you start showing honor to the people in your life in a greater way. First of all, honor God. And then honor the people God's put around you. The Bible says Jesus couldn't do any miracles in his own hometown of Nazareth because of their unbelief. They thought, there's nothing special about Jesus. We grew up with Jesus. I taught Jesus in the third grade. I mean, he was just like the other students. I played little league with Jesus. It wasn't any. Jesus grew up, and the people in his own hometown, they just thought, you know, this is just Jesus. It was a lack of honor that kept Jesus from doing any miracles. In fact, Jesus went on to say, in Mark 6, verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is treated with honor everywhere except in his own hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house. He was unable to do any great miracles in Nazareth except to heal a few sick people by laying hands upon them. Why could Jesus not do great miracles? Because there was no honor. They didn't honor him. The same principle is true today. No, where there's no honor, there will be no miracles. No honor, no healing. No honor, no promotion. No increase. No honor, no favor. No breakthrough. God's power is directly related to showing honor. That's why this is so important, family. Ephesians 6, verse 2 says, for the commandment, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the 10 commandments with a promise attached. There's a promise attached to honoring your mother and your father. You will prosper and live a long, full life if you honor your parents. The New Living Translation says, if you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you and you will live a long life on the earth. That's the commanded blessing I was speaking about. If you show honor, the Bible says all will be well with you. You'll live a long life. You may go through some difficult seasons and people may do you wrong, but because you're a person of honor, you can stay in peace knowing that it all is going to be well with me. And honor should start in our home. It should start in our own family with those who are closest to us. Because I know people that treat complete strangers better than they treat their own spouse. Don't shout amen too loud now. Just keep smiling. It should be just the opposite. We should treat our own family with more honor than anybody else. I was invited to an event many years ago at Lakewood Church with Pastor Joel Osteen. And Joel started out the meeting. He opened it up by honoring his parents. His parents, John and Dodie Osteen, founded Lakewood Church over 50 years ago. And he always gets up and honors them and says, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my mother and my father. One pastor who was there sitting nearby me, he said, I've never seen such a culture of honor. Do you know the Bible says in Romans 13, verse 7, render to all their due, honor to whom honor is due. See, when you're honorable, you don't suck up all the attention in the room and say, look how great I am, how great I am. Have you ever been around people and all they talk about is themselves? Let me tell you what I've accomplished. Let me tell you what I'm doing. Let me tell you about this. No. When you're a person of honor, you're quick to give the other person credit. You realize nobody gets to where they are by themselves. Amen? No one gets to where they are by themselves. You honor those who've gone before you and those who are praying for you and those who are believing in you and those encouraging you on the way. Proverbs 27 verse 2 says, let someone else honor you for your accomplishments, for self-praise is never appropriate. Let someone else honor you. Matthew 23, 12. If you have a lofty opinion of yourself and you seek to be honored, you will be humbled. But if you have a modest opinion of yourself and you choose to humble yourself, you will be honored. Got quiet in here, didn't it? Let's show honor, not seek honor. I said, let's show honor, not seek honor. Let's develop a culture of honor in our families, in our church, where we work. We've got enough people trying to pull us down. Let me tell you, we've got enough critics. We've got enough naysayers. Our family should be a place of respect and admiration, where we don't focus on our petty differences. We don't let pride cause us to compete and to compare, trying to be, you know, the most important, where we can't even compliment somebody else because we don't want to look weak. Showing honor is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. Celebrating others will not decrease you. It will actually increase you. Giving credit to that employee who works underneath you is not going to make you look less in others' eyes. It's going to give you more credibility. Because the more respect you show, the more respect you're going to have. Where there is honor, let me tell you, there's unity. People get along. Where there's respect and admiration, there's a team spirit, enthusiasm, motivation. Why is that? Because when you pour out the oil of honor, it'll come back to you as God's blessing and God's favor in your own life. You might be around people who are dishonorable, people who are hard to love, people who are hard to respect. Sometimes you got to love people by faith. In other words, don't treat people the way they are, but the way you want them to become. When you honor someone who is dishonorable, you give respect to someone who doesn't deserve it. When you're kind, even though they're not kind, you are sowing a seed for them to become honorable. See, our mind will always tell us, Be disrespectful back to them. They didn't give you the time of day. Just blow them off, man. They talk bad about you. You should talk bad about them. That's what our mind tells us, our human nature. But you never change a dishonorable situation by piling on more dishonor. It only makes matters worse. You got to do the opposite. You got to bring honor to that situation. You got to treat them the way that you want them to become. Are you hearing me this morning? It's like the cork. If you put a cork at the bottom of a bucket with no water in the bucket, the honor is the water. And as long as there's disrespect and sarcasm and jealousy and pride, let me tell you, that bucket is going to stay empty and that cork's going to stay at the bottom. But when you start to honor that person and treat them the way you want them to become, and you're kind even though they are not kind, little by little, as you pour out the oil of honor, that cork is going to start coming off the bottom of the barrel. That person's going to start rising higher. That person's going to come up to a higher place. And if you keep pouring honor in, before long, they'll be living at the level that God created them to live at. Not because you fought with them, not because, you know, you treated them the way that they treated you, but no, because you were a person of honor and you kept pouring honor in. That's what causes people to rise to new levels in their life. Can you say amen, somebody? Maybe you've got family who don't deserve honor, a parent who did you wrong, a relative who cheated you, a brother-in-law who's always talking bad about you. The way to win is not through dishonor. Don't sink down to that level. Keep showing more and more honor. Like, I know of this, I heard about this lady who was mistreated by her father. He abused her for many years, and she said, how am I supposed to honor him? I hate him. I can't stand him. I realize you may not be at a point yet where you can interact with that person, but it's an act of honor to pray for them to change. If you never make a dishonorable situation, you're never going to make a dishonorable situation better by adding more dishonor. The way to change it is by adding honor to that situation. Like this man I heard about, he didn't speak to his father for 30 years. Because when he was 23 years old, he had a big argument with his father. And for nearly 30 years, he wouldn't speak to him. His whole life was a struggle. He couldn't seem to get ahead. He never seemed to get any good breaks in his life. Year after year, he is living in the same small apartment with his family. One day, he heard his dad was sick. He was in the hospital. And something inside him told him he needed to go and make things right with his father. He drove 4 hours to the hospital, and when they saw each other, they both started crying. He said, Dad, I'm so sorry. It was my fault. I'm sorry. I'm gonna make it up to you. And he started honoring his father. He would take his children to see his dad regularly. And his father, they'd spend weekends sometimes at his father's house. He changed from a culture of dishonor to a culture of honor. And not long after that, he got a promotion he'd been trying to get for 10 years. All of a sudden, out of the blue, he got this promotion. He didn't know how he was going to send his daughter to college, but out of the blue, she got a scholarship to college. After all those years of living in a small apartment, they were finally able to purchase their first home. One thing after another began to fall into place in his life. Why is that? Because when there's a culture of dishonor, God's blessing is pulled back in your life. You will not walk in the fullness of what God has in store for you. But if you'll do like the son and find an area of dishonor and start bringing honor and start bringing respect, let me tell you, you can break the curse that dishonor brings and see God's favor in a greater way in your life. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6. Show honor to your parents and all will be well with you. You will prosper. You will be blessed. You will live a long life. Well, the opposite is true as well. If we don't show honor, then all will not be well with us. If we allow disrespect and jealousy and sarcasm and pride and all of these things, if we let them keep us from showing honor, it's not going to hurt the other person. A lack of honor holds us back. That's what I want you to see today. I really believe one reason that I've seen God's favor in my life is I've always done my best to honor my parents. I've done my best to honor not just my natural parents, my mom and dad, but also my spiritual parents, Pastor Theo and Pastor Bev. I've always done my best to honor them. I got saved under Pastor Theo's ministry when I was 16 years old, and he was 31. Now I'm 56, and he's 70-something, too, I think. And he's still my pastor, and I still honor him, and I still listen to his advice today. Let me tell you, there is a special reward and blessing that comes from honoring your parents. You may not always agree with them, but it doesn't say if you agree with your parents, honor them, does it? Young people, I encourage you to listen to your parents' advice because they've been around longer than you have and they're trying to keep you from making the same mistakes that they made. You know, anyone heard of Mark Twain, the famous American author Mark Twain? Mark Twain said this. He said, when I was 14, my father was so dumb, I could hardly stand to be around him. But when I got to be 21, I was amazed how much he had learned in those few years. Let me tell you, if you want all to be well with you, you need to show honor and respect for your parents. And all the parents said, not just with your words, but with your actions. There's many things, you know, there's many things we may not think we need to do, but in order to show honor, we swallow our pride and we do it anyway to honor that person. Where there's honor, there's promotion. It's not just enough to honor with our words. We've got to honor people with our actions. I'm really convinced if we would show more honor, we would not only have better relationships, but we'd enjoy our own life a whole lot more. Let me tell you, wives, it's important to honor your husband. It's one of his greatest needs. And all the husbands said, don't be scared now, guys. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says this, each wife is to honor her husband. And Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, the integrity and the strength of a virtuous wife transforms her husband into an honored king. But the wife who disgraces her husband weakens the strength of his identity. Do you know that the more you honor your husband, the more that he'll rise up and become a king? And the more you show disgrace, the less that he will do that. Wives, I want to talk to the wives for just a moment. I'll get to the husbands in a second. But wives, do you know that you can say the right thing to your husband, but if you say it in a dishonorable way, he's not going to hear anything you're saying? I've had that with Jill. I've said, no, Jill. I've said, Jill. Change your tone. I can't hear what you're saying. You've got to change your tone. If you got the stroppy tone with me, I don't receive what you're saying. But if we speak respectfully and nicely, you can tell me anything. Amen. You see, if there's the smallest hint of disrespect, his defenses go up. And nothing that's said will be taken the right way. In our relationships, we'll not always agree. And so often, if the other person doesn't see it our way, we get upset. We start raising our voice. Maybe even get sarcastic. And before long, we're at odds with each other. If you can just learn to keep the honor and the respect, even when you don't agree, it won't damage your relationship. Amen? The Bible says, listen to this, Proverbs 20, verse 3. A person of honor will put an argument to rest. Only the stupid want to pick a fight. I think there's a whole lot of people on Facebook could do with that advice. A person of honor puts an argument to rest. Only stupid people want to pick a fight. And husbands, the Bible says you must honor your wife. Someone I know told me that his wife asked him, please, honey, don't wash your hands in the kitchen sink after you've been working out in the garage or working out or exercising and you're all sweaty. Please, would you go to the bathroom at the back? They had a guest bathroom. So when she wasn't looking, he'd wash his hands in the sink if she wasn't around. Because it's quicker than going to the bathroom at the back. So if she's not around, I can wash my hands. And one day the Lord spoke to him and said, when are you going to honor your wife by doing what she asked you to do? You missed the place to say amen there, all the wives. He decided he was going to honor God by honoring his wife. You see, often what we think is, I don't have to do that. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to go upstairs to wash my hands. I shouldn't have to clean up after that mess. I shouldn't have to do this. But God is saying, will you do it for me? Will you do it unto the Lord? Because if you honor God, God will always show honor to you. In 1 Peter 3, verse 7, listen to what the Bible says. You husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. The Bible says, husbands, if we don't honor our wives and treat our wives right, it's going to hinder our prayers. Amen, somebody. If you don't show honor, your prayers can be hindered. If we don't show honor, that dream may not come to pass. Could it be if we'd start showing more honor, then a dream would come to pass? A prayer would get answered? We'd see that breakthrough we've been praying and believing God for? Let's step up our honor level, not just in our home. We should start there for sure, but make sure you're showing honor at work. Where you work, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 5, those who are employed should listen to their employers and obey their instructions with great respect and honor. Serve them with humility in your hearts as though you were working for the master. You should work as unto the Lord, because he's the one who's going to bless you. He's the one who's going to promote you. Even if he has to move your boss out the way and give you his job, if you'll be a person of honor, God will promote you. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1 says, instruct every employee to respect and honor their employers, for this attitude presents to them a clear testimony of God's truth and renown. Tell them to never provide them with a reason to discredit God's name because of your actions. Especially honor and respect employers who are believers. And don't despise them, but serve them all the more. For they are fellow believers. They should be at peace with them as beloved members of God's family. Be faithful to teach them these things as their sacred obligation. The Bible says it's our sacred obligation to show honor where we work. Show honor to your coach. Show honor to your teacher. Show honor to your leaders in the church. Imagine if everybody in America showed honor to one another. Imagine if every political person showed honor to the other one. We can disagree, but we can still do so in an honorable way. In 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. 1 Timothy 5:17, the pastors who lead the church well should be paid well. Amen. I'm going to say amen on that one. I'm going to give an amen on that one. They should receive double honor for faithfully preaching and teaching the revelation of God's word. They should get double honor. What is double honor? What's double honor? The contemporary English version makes it very clear. Church leaders who do their job well deserve to be paid twice as much. Especially if they work hard at preaching and teaching. Do you notice that God puts great value on preaching and teaching his word? Now, in the world, you know what the world thinks? A preacher shouldn't earn much at all. Jesus was poor. You shouldn't earn much at all. But that's what God says. God says those who are faithful and work hard at preaching, they should get double honor. They should get paid twice as much. Now, let me just, I don't get paid twice as much, but I should. According to the Bible, what do you make? What do you make? What do you make? What do you make? Because I should be making twice that. According to the scripture. Let's move on from there. Hebrews 13 verse 7. It says, obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watching over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work, so it will benefit you when you make their work a pleasure and not a heavy burden. Let me tell you, I take my job as a pastor very seriously. I put my whole heart into it. I am totally sold out. I spend hours every week praying for you. I spend days preparing the sermon every week. I spend days. You can ask Mike back there. He'll testify to it. I'm available to anybody who calls me. I contact every new visitor in our church. I follow up with them. I keep a track on all of the members. If someone's not coming to church, I reach out to them and I call them and I contact them, make sure they're okay. Why? Because I know I'm going to give an account one day. I'm going to give an account to the Lord on how well did I do my job as a pastor. But do you know you're going to give an account too? I'm going to give an account. How well did I do my job? You're going to give an account. Did you listen to your pastor? Because if you don't listen to my advice as much as I'm available, then that's on you. That's not on me. And it amazes me. Amazes me. Because I see God, He brings people to our church. They get so enthusiastic. Oh, Pastor Steve, they love the church. They love me. They tell me how great I am. They love my sermons. Oh, man, Pastor Steve, I'm so thankful for you. And then suddenly one day, they don't. Suddenly one day, they won't even listen to my advice. They won't even return my phone call. It's like they went into the witness protection program. They become untraceable. They don't even respond to my text. And then they badmouth me to other people. That's the opposite of honoring your spiritual leaders. Pastor Theo has been my pastor for 40 years. I will always honor him. I always will listen to his advice. I may not always agree, but I will listen to his advice. I will pray over it. And I guarantee you, if he texts me, the moment I see it, I'll respond. If he calls me, I'm going to call him. I don't keep him waiting 6 days to return his call. Why? Because I honor him. When God called me to go and start a church in 1991, I was 27 years old. And because I wanted, you know, I prayed and I asked the Lord to speak to Pastor Theo. I was working for Pastor Theo because I wanted a confirmation that it was God, but I also wanted him to know that it was God's calling. It wasn't my idea, it was the Lord. So I didn't tell him anything. I prayed and I asked the Lord to speak to Pastor Theo. And God spoke to Pastor Theo and he came to me and said, the Lord told me, Steve, it's time for you to go. You're going to start a church. I mean, he told me all these things. See, God wants us to honor those in authority. That means to honor and respect those in any authority. Show honor to everyone. I heard Joel Osteen tell a story. How he went to a baseball game and he had his seat. He always sat in the same seat. He always parked at the same place. He always went in the same entrance. He'd had seats for years. He knew just where his seats were. It was a couple of sections to the left. But on this day, he went. There was an usher at the entrance. He was making everybody go to the right. They'd put up these little ropes, making everyone go to the right instead of to the left. But his seats were on the left. So if he went to the right, he'd have to walk around the entire stadium, and there were hundreds of people. He saw them going in, and of course, everyone went to the right, but many of those people, as soon as they turned to the right, once they got about 20 feet from the usher, they held up the rope, they went under the rope, and then they went to the left, to the other side. He knew the usher could still see him, so he intended he was going to do the same thing. As soon as he got out of the usher's sight, he was going to slip under the rope and go to the left instead of going to the right, and he heard that still small voice on the inside say, Joel, don't do it. You're a person of honor. He's in authority. Respect his position. So he just kept walking, went all the way around the stadium, not because he felt like it, not because he thought it was fair. He did it to honor that usher. Amen. Let me tell you, God knows when you honor people, you are ultimately honoring God. You are sowing seeds of promotion. I wonder how many opportunities we miss out on to move up higher in our life and see more of God's favor in our life because we are not honoring those around us. We are not honoring those in authority as we ought to be. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve is not hurting anybody to go under the rope. Does it really make any difference? Maybe not, but it's a test of your character. God is watching to see if you'll pass the test and show honor and show respect to people in positions of authority so that you can come up higher in your own life. You hear what I'm saying today? Are you going to take the easy way out and just do whatever you feel like and whatever you want and get stuck where you are? Or are you going to pass the test, stay on the high road, be honorable, show honor? Because the more honor you show, the more God will honor you. Can you say amen? Amen. Romans 2 verse 10 says, when we do what pleases God, we can expect unfading glory, true honor, and continual peace. When you do what pleases God, you can expect honor. Psalm 31, verse 19. Lord, how wonderful you are. You have stored up so many good things for us, like a treasure chest heaped up and spilling over with blessings, all for those who honor and worship you. Do you know worshiping God is honoring God? Do you know that when you come into church and you start to sing and worship, you're honoring the Lord? I think about David. King Saul dishonored David again and again. David did nothing but good for King Saul. He loved King Saul, but Saul was jealous, tried to kill David, threw spears at David, chased David for 13 years with his army through the wilderness, chased after David. David was so filled with honor, he so respected Saul's position as king, that there were two times that he had the opportunity to kill Saul, But he refused. He wouldn't do it. And in 1 Samuel 24, look what he said. David said, look, this day your eyes have seen. The Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. In 1 Samuel 26:9, David said to Abishai, don't you dare hurt him. Who can lay a hand on God's anointed and even think of getting away with it? David just kept on passing the test. He just kept on showing more honor. And God just kept on giving him more favor. Hand me that one, babe. Hate to do that, but we got a short going on there. When David finally took the throne of Israel several years later, the first thing David did was not to have a big parade and show how great he was. First thing he did, he asked his staff, in 2 Samuel chapter 9, is there anyone left of Saul's family? If so, I'd like to show him some kindness in honor of Jonathan. Is there anyone left of the family of Saul? I want to show them honor. Honor was always on David's mind. No wonder God blessed David in such an amazing way. Jonathan was David's best friend, and he was Saul's son, King Saul's son. He'd been killed in battle. And David's men told him, yes, Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. He's a cripple. He's lame in his feet. He became crippled when his nurse heard that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. She fled in panic, and in her haste she dropped him, and he became lame. And Mephibosheth was living in a city called Lodebar. It was one of the poorest cities. And David set out to honor Mephibosheth. He had him brought to the palace. And he told Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 9, verse 7, don't be afraid, David said. I intend to show kindness to you because of my promise to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the property that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will eat with me at the king's table. You're going to stay in the king's palace. You're going to eat at my table. I'm going to give you back everything that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, because I want to honor him. That's honor, family. Let's be like David. Let's develop a culture of honor. I mean, here David was chased by King Saul. He made his life a misery, and David, when Saul was killed in battle and David became the king because David refused to kill Saul, instead of wiping out his whole family, he said, is there anyone left of Saul's family? I want to honor him. Let me tell you, when honor is on our mind, we should set out this week that we're going to honor people. We're going to show honor to people in a greater way. Set out to honor your spouse in a greater way. Honor your wife in a greater way. Honor your husband in a greater way. Show more respect to your co-workers in a greater way. Set out to make that friend feel special. Show honor to that friend. Let's show honor in our conversations, in the way we treat people. Let's show honor on our social media posts. Don't get in a big old argument with someone. I can guarantee you right now, you won't change one person's mind by arguing with them. You won't change one person's mind by arguing with them. Let's show honor at every opportunity we find. Remember, the amount of honor you show is directly related the amount of God's favor that you're going to see in your life. In Romans 12:10, it says, take delight in honoring each other. And the Passion Bible says, be devoted to loving your fellow believers. And as members of one family, try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. The Bible says we should try outdo each other. You're so great. You're so great. No. You're so great. You're so great. You're doing such a good job. Try and outdo each other in honoring one another. Hello? I'm asking for you to step it up a notch. Be kinder. Be more respectful. Go out of your way to show honor. Everywhere you go, look for opportunities to pour out the oil of honor, to encourage people, compliment people, honor people. Amen. Make them feel better about themselves. That should be a priority on the foremost of our minds. Who can I honor today? Who can I put in a good word for today? How can I make them feel special today? Amen. Let's show honor to God. Let's show honor to the Word of God. Let's show honor to people in authority. Let's show honor to our spiritual leaders in the church. Let's show honor to our parents. Let's show honor to our spouse, our husband, our wife, our employer, our employees. Everybody we meet, let's be people that show
honor, if you make it a priority to show honor everywhere you go, God promises everything's going to be well with you. Everything's going to go well for you because you're honorable. No, let me tell you, you'll always have honor. You'll live a long, blessed, satisfied, victorious life in the name of Jesus. You receive it today. Come on, give God thanks. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I receive your word today. Lord, you've called me to be a person of honor and to show honor everywhere I go, to everyone I meet. Lord, thank you for helping me to show honor in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to honor your word. I'm going to honor people in positions of authority. I'm going to honor my parents. Come on, say it. I'm going to honor my wife. I'm going to honor my husband. I'm going to honor my employer. I'm going to honor my employees. I'm going to honor everybody I meet. I'm going to show them honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you think that this would totally transform society if everybody lived by this standard? Now, I can't do anything about you, but I can do something about me. You can't do something about that person, but you can take the lead and say, I am going to show honor. Amen? Bow your heads for a moment, if you would. Father, I thank you for every person here this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in their life. I thank you, Lord, that as they commit to be a person of honor and to show honor as you've called us to, I thank you, Lord, that they'll see your favor. They'll see breakthroughs. They'll see promotion. They'll see amazing things happen in their life, Lord, because you've promised us when we give honor, we receive honor. When we show honor, we receive favor. And I thank you, Lord, right now for everything you're doing in every person's life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that honor would be the culture of our church, that we would try and outdo each other in honoring one another. Now, while you have your head bowed, thank you, Kelly, and while you have your eyes just closed, Before we close today, I just want to pray one more prayer. I want to pray especially for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you absolutely certain that you would spend forever in heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can be certain of that. You can walk out of here today. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it is forgiven. It is washed away. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord, and you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Right where you're sitting while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, please include me in that prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, quickly, if you want to be included in this prayer, why don't you just lift your hand up high right now? Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands being raised. I want to ask everybody who lifted up your hand, please say this prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm asking you to say it with me. The scripture says in Romans 10 in verse 9, look on the screen. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And if you believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. So say this with me, everybody. Say this out loud. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross in my place, to take my sin, to take my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that Christ has been raised from the dead, and if I confess that he is my Lord, you said I will be saved. I do this today. Say, I do this today. I believe in my heart. Lord Jesus, you're alive. I ask you to come into my life. Say it. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me. I surrender my life to you. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. You're now my Lord. Say, I thank you because I've received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Say, heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now listen, if you raised your hand and you said that prayer, I want to congratulate you. If you're watching online, if you said that prayer, congratulations, the best decision of your life. If you're here live, I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, please stay for a couple of minutes. We're about to close the service, but we have a gift we want to give you before you go. One of our volunteer servant leaders is going to come over to you and give you that gift today. But before we go, we're going to honor the Lord with our giving, aren't we? We're going to honor God. Anyone here believe in honoring God with giving today?
Praise God. Well, I've got to use the scripture as we get ready to give. And that's Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's what the Word of God says, right? Family, as we get ready to give, there are envelopes in the seats right where you're sitting. Those that are watching online, it's really simple. You just click Give Online and it'll take you to a link that first time you set it up. And then it's so easy. Someone was saying to me this week, they love how simple it is to give online, and I do too. But I heard a tithing testimony after church last week, and I just thought I'd share it with you. This couple was telling us, a gentleman was saying, you know, they had been believers for a while, and they tithed, but never like really purposefully. Kind of they tithed so that they wouldn't be cursed kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like you did it because you had to. And then they began getting like a real revelation and understanding of tithing. And they decided that they really were going to make a point of making this the first thing that they did. Because the Bible says, give God your first and your best. Another translation of that scripture says, your first and your best. So the first thing they did is when their income would kind of show up in their account on Monday or Tuesday, so they made a point of tithing on a Monday so that they made sure that that was the first thing. They're like, we're going to make sure. Then they made sure that they tithe on the gross. Like they're like, you know, let's not just take a ballpark figure here, but let's actually make sure that we're tithing, which is a tenth, as the Bible says. And then they decided that they were going to make a point of tithing on all their increase, which is what that scripture says, which means that sometimes you get stuff that's beyond what you normally get. You may get a gift. You know, if somebody gives me $100 for my birthday, $10 is a tithe, right? And so they made a point. They said they had this insurance payout come, and it was way more than what they expected. And they looked at each other, and they're like, we're going to tithe on that, right? Yeah, we're tithing on that. Then they sold their house, and there was an increase, and there was an increase that came to them from that sale. And they said, you know what, we're going to tithe on that. So they became very specific about honoring God with a tithe. And they said they immediately began to see a difference, not just in finances. That's the interesting part. There's a scripture that I read yesterday, and I hadn't actually read this in this translation before, but it says this: go ahead, build your career, and give yourself to your work, but if you put me first, you'll see your family built up. So God, it's more than about money, right? It's about blessings following you in your life when you honor God, right? And so they said to me last week that out of the blue, his boss came up to him and said, I'm going to give you a 25% increase per week. I mean, come on. Anybody like a 25% increase per week? And so that's the blessing of God. That's a lot. It's $500 a week extra. Come on, we could do with that, right? And so that's a blessing. And they directly tied that because they've begun to see things as they put God first, as they really applied the principle of honoring God and believing God, that things are just starting to the rewards begin to show. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that, but thank you for giving. Thank you to those who have given online. People are so faithful to tithe. I think through this whole people watching online and, you know, many times it's been virtual that people have got in a habit of giving online, and we so appreciate that because there's some people we haven't seen in months, but thank God they're faithful. They still tithe every week, and it's a blessing to the church. So we appreciate that. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person giving.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for every household.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you know their situation. You know that as they come to honor you, Father, maybe they've lost a job. Maybe they've seen a decrease. But Father, as we honor you, like we heard this morning, there is a blessing attached to it. And we look to you, Father. We look to you for new doors of opportunity. We look to you for new contracts and new business. Thank you, Father, for increase and promotion in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Do you agree with that today? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to say thank you, ushers. Go ahead. Thank you to all of our servant leaders who served in God's house today. Would you give a big round of applause to all of our servant leaders in Children's Church, the media department, the ushers, the greeters. I want to thank our worship team. Did a wonderful job today, getting better every single week. I can tell you that right now. Did a great job today. We really appreciate it. I want to thank everyone who came to pray. Please remember, before service, do you have that for me? Before service, from 9:15 to 9:45, we are praying upstairs in our conference room. And you go up the stairs, the first right. I want to thank everyone who came to pray. Let me tell you, it's making a difference. And I want to encourage you to come join us. I particularly want to appeal to the men. Men, we need to rise up as men of God and lead our family and pray for this nation. Don't leave it to your wife to pray. You be the priest in the home, the king in the home. You rise up. Come and pray with us, men. I believe we have a church full of godly men who know how to pray, who know how to believe God. I'll say it again. I believe we have a church full of godly men who know how to pray, who know are mighty champions for God. Amen. Come on, come pray with us on Sunday, anytime between 9:15 and 9:45. God bless you. We love you. Stand up with us. Thank God for His goodness running after us. Amen.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running.